Learn how Jim Cowper and his team at Contract Professionals is helping transitioning military personnel and veterans find employment. Coming up next on Veteran on the Move.
Welcome to Veteran on the Move. If you're a veteran in transition, an entrepreneur wannabe, or someone still stuck in that J-O-B trying to escape, this podcast is dedicated to your success. And now, your host, Joe Crane.
If you're a veteran interested in a new game plan, 7-Eleven may have what you're looking for. Their structured franchise program is a perfect fit for your experience and skills. Franchise with a leader. It's a smart game plan for vets and a win for 7-Eleven. Check out the details at veteranonthemove.com/7-Eleven. Jim Cowper is the president of Contract Professionals Incorporated, CPI, a certified veteran-owned, top-secret, cleared global technical solutions company with headquarters in Waterford, Michigan. His job is to lead CPI as his team helps out-processing military personnel and veterans find employment. A world-class senior executive, Jim has more than 30 years in the staffing business. He specializes in mergers, acquisitions, and customer retention. Of particular note, Jim has testified before the Michigan House of Representatives on the need for an allocation of resources to help transitioning veterans find employment. He has also met with top military officials to discuss how CPI can expand their veteran hiring initiative and employ additional transitioning veterans. Jim Cowper, president of Contract Professionals Incorporated, thanks for being here and welcome to Veteran on the Move. Before we get to talking about what you're doing at CPI, take us back a little bit and give us an idea on your background.
Sure. Thanks, Joe. I was the youngest of four, three older sisters. My dad owned his own business. So I was, going to work every Saturday and washing the floors and doing the menial tasks and thinking in the terms of, I'll follow my dad's footsteps and I'll work in this business. And at 17, he got cancer and died. And so it was, okay, now what do I do? How do I figure this out? The business is gone. The career's gone. I was fortunate to go to University of Detroit Jesuit High School here in Detroit, Michigan, get the ever interesting mentorship of Jesuit priests in how they lead young men to be taught to figure it out. Getting the answers right on the test was one thing. Figuring out how to go forward was the bigger reward. So, long story short, a friend called and said, "Hey, Manpower Temporary Services needs a person to work in the downtown Detroit office to do day labor in 1978. So I went down part-time working at Manpower and went to college at Wayne State in Detroit. And we literally did day labor back in the day labor days, guys to unload trucks, et cetera. That led to working for a company called Butler Service Group, which was a technical staffing firm. I worked there for 2 years. The founder of Contract Professionals, Steve York, had worked at Butler prior to me, went on and formed CPI. So then I joined CPI in 1983, 1 year after the company launched. I worked there 3 years, did some great stuff, went off and worked for another large privately held staffing company called TAC Worldwide out of Boston. Worked there 23 years, became a senior vice president, lots of success, et cetera. And I retired. My wife got cancer and died. I had two young daughters, so I retired. And when it was time to come back to work, I went back to Steve and said, Steve, you're exactly 10 years older than me. I want to teach you how to be retired and let me come back and run CPI. So I'm now in my third year back at Contract Professionals, kind of like I never left. CPI was founded, as a veteran-owned company. General Dynamics was the first client, still our largest client. We've been very active in recruiting, hiring, and supporting veterans for 35 years. I'm a short number. We're well north of 2,000 veterans that we've recruited and hired throughout the years. And it's a core part of us. We're DOD top secret cleared as a facility. I have a top secret clearance. So we're working in a myriad of technical skills, whether it be from a tank mechanic to an aviation engineer. And we've branched out into other defense clients like BAE and Oshkosh Truck. And we're having conversations with AECOM and Northrop Grumman and Lockheed Martin and Leidos. And for 35 years, we've been this firm who went out and recruited and hired veterans because we thought it was the right thing to do. Now, in 2017, it's hip to hire veterans. It's top of mind. Companies have diversity programs targeted to veterans. All great. Long time coming, way too long a time coming, but it's really, really great. And CPI is very actively involved in that in a variety of different ways. And, you know, we can go into some of those examples. So that's a little bit of my background. And although I'm not a veteran, I've had the experience and pleasure to spend time with four-star generals right down to, you know, four-year guys or gals who came out of the military after just a short career. I find them invigorating. I find them incredibly dedicated. Their commitment and bravery is just something I can't even measure because I was never a soldier. Very respectful of the process, very respectful of the people. And I'm thankful that industry, Fortune 500, is finally now embracing that these men and women are useful to their companies and useful to their products and services and useful to driving creative thinking inside of an organization that has traditionally hired the usual path of educated professionals. And the veterans blend really well with that, really well. We have great success. We have nice stories about it. And it, quite frankly, it's fun to help the veterans go on to their second career. And we're proud to do it.
Yeah, absolutely. Jim, I have to ask, what immediately comes to mind, I'm kind of living this space all the time, even though we're somewhat focused on, you know, mostly focused on entrepreneurship. But there's a, and I actually have a good friend of mine who's getting ready to retire, and I'm watching him go through this process and the thoughts that go through his head. What's interesting is there's thousands of companies out there that want to hire veterans into great jobs, and there's thousands of veterans out there that want to get into these great jobs, but there still seems to be this big divide. It's like the veterans have a hard time finding those companies that are looking for them, and the companies that are looking for the veterans have a hard time finding the veterans. I'm sure you see some of that, right?
Oh, it's beyond. We see it. It's number one. You're absolutely correct. And to give you an example, we're very active at Fort Hood, largest military base, and we go down regularly. Fort Hood has job fairs, and we have retired Command Sergeant Major Rich Ross, who works for us to help us organize all of this in Texas, and I've had the privilege to go down, and I've met with a retired 4-star General Thurman and retired 3-star General Funk. And we've toured the base. That's an experience in itself for a non-soldier to tour Fort Hood with a 4-star and a 3-star, a bit Moses-like. And we talked about there's no database for the soldiers coming out. There's no ability for us as a recruitment company to find these soldiers easily to match them with clients in new careers. And the generals are very focused on it because it comes out of their readiness budget. When soldiers come out of the military and they transition out, if they don't have a job, the military gives them a stipend for a period of time, and it comes out of the readiness funds of the military bases, and the generals want their readiness funds into equipment and technology and not into soldiers that haven't found a job yet. And we haven't solved that problem. We've gone and talked about how could we build databases? Private industry would help build databases. And we're dealing with the federal government and the United States Army, and it's just not an easy solution. To further that, we at CPI went to our capital, Lansing, and I testified in front of the House of Representatives with another group called the Eisenhower Center, which is an incredible group that's founded here in Ann Arbor, Michigan, that they do research and treatment for soldiers and now the National Football League on concussions and all of the symptomatic symptoms that can't come out of concussions. And so the Eisenhower Center testified in Lansing about how they need the database to have access to veterans who need their help to help treat them for the, you know, the injuries that they've had in battle. And I testified in that we need the same database so we can employ veterans. And or even if we discover veterans that Eisenhower could help, we could funnel them to them as well. And so we're trying to be as proactive as possible to figure out how to to create some sort of database that the soldiers could log into before they transition out to look for jobs. And we could log in to see who's coming out by MOS code and et cetera, et cetera. So it is frustrating, and it's frustrating across the board. And it's one of those great questions in America today that this seems so simple to solve. Why don't we just solve it? If it were only that simple. So we're going to continue to dig, and we're going to continue to try and solve it. But great question. Great question.
Yeah, I think a lot of it is, you know, we want the solution to be an app on your phone where you can look at a specific company and know exactly what it's going to be like to go work for them. And they can look at you and know exactly what you're going to be like. But there's really not a software system, an app, or a resume that can do that. So that's why I always stress, if anybody looking to get out, if you want to get a job, go into any kind of a career, start networking, you know, years in advance, because it takes years to develop those relationships. And I think one thing that holds a lot of folks back, including veterans, from the whole networking concept is you don't realize the payoff that networking does for you until you see it pay off. You know, it's kind of like having faith. You know, you have to blindly go into it and believe that it really exists before you'll ever get any proof that it does. And those people that aren't willing to have the faith to do so will never experience the benefit of it. And I think the older you get, the more opportunity you have to see the whole networking cycle come around full circle and pay off. And once you've seen it pay off a few times, you're like, okay, yeah, I get it. I'm going to network all the time. You know, it's like sowing seeds along your path, and eventually you'll come along something that's already bared fruit.
Exactly. And I have two great examples of that, you know, kind of the core of what you're doing with your podcast is around entrepreneur. And we have two scenarios that have happened. And it's interesting that they were born out of Detroit. Is that the first is the National Veterans Business Development Council, NVBDC, started by a service disabled Army vet who recognized that inside of the VA certification for veteran-owned businesses, they have financial caps. And if your business gets too large, you lose your VOSB or your service disabled veteran status if you get too big, which that's a whole other debate. But anyway, these individuals went to the VA and said, we want to start a certification for veteran-owned companies that are above the cap so they can continue to have a veteran certification for industry. And the VA kind of said, sure, it sounds like a great idea. Go ahead and build it, thinking they'll never come back. They did. It's up. It's running. We're in our second year. You know, we have... You know, because it's born in Detroit here, with Ford, General Motors, Kellogg, Federal Reserve of Chicago, 3M, Harley Davidson, a variety of Fortune 100 companies that have in writing stated that for their company, if you are to be a veteran certified entity, you must be certified by NVBDC. So now we're reaching out to all of these, you know, thousands of veteran-owned companies and saying, we have a certification avenue for you, for your entrepreneurial spirit, to get this stamp that these Fortune 100s are pioneering and adopting. And it's incredibly powerful to see that when we go to these veteran matchmakers now, and we see 200, 300, 400 veteran-owned companies coming to these matchmakers in front of Fortune 100 companies, and there's more traction than just the head nodding, and we're doing this because we're obligated. And it's the tip of the iceberg. Back to my comment about, you know, it's hip to hire veterans, and it's so exciting to see industry really making an effort to treat the veterans in the same method that they do other minority classes that they use in their businesses. And there's another organization here called Vet Biz that's led by a man named Matt Sherwood, and their mantra is the training in the entrepreneurial development for veterans who want to start a business. How do you do it? How do you get financing? What should your company look like? What should your website look like? What should your capability statement say? Amazing that companies don't understand that you need a written capability statement, elevator pitch, if you will, but you need it written that when you go and meet these companies, you put it in front of them. Who are you? What is your Dun & Bradstreet number? What is your federal ID number? What is your 500 words or less capability of who you are as a company? And VetBiz and Matt Sherwood does a wonderful job of taking companies through that. And for me, I'm just thrilled to be able to work with these companies as a business entrepreneur myself, to be able to say, how can we help the smaller veteran company grow? How do they get mentorship? How do they sit with other companies that have been successful and learn? And I am thrilled to spend, you know, my free time to help these companies do it, because I see the value, end value, to the companies that would engage these veteran-owned firms because of their dedication and their willingness to succeed. They just need the mentorship help like all startup businesses do.
Absolutely. Well, hey, Jim, hold on just a second. We're going to take a quick break and we'll be right back with you. If you're a veteran interested in a new game plan, 7-Eleven may have what you're looking for. We're talking franchising, you know, owning your own store. 7-Eleven's franchise program puts your military experience to work in a structured environment that's all about success. And special military incentives and financing make ownership easier. So think about it. Franchising with the convenience leader. It's a smart game plan for vets and a win for 7-Eleven. Check out the details at veteranonthemove.com/7-Eleven. All right, we're back with Jim Cowper from president of CPI. So, Jim, you've thrown out a wealth of information. You're obviously living in this military veteran transition space and the hiring and everything that's going on out there, and even government regulatory issues along the same subjects. And I did want to say, go back a little bit to what you were saying earlier. You said that the military itself, you know, it comes out of their budget to run these mandatory transition programs that all of us have to go through when we get out. I do like to point out that, you know, why is the military willing to spend so much money to help their veterans transition? And part of it might be, you might think, well, it's because they've been told to. But really, the best recruiting tool of all is someone who's been in the military for 4 years or even a career, and when they get out, they transition into a really good job or a good career. And years later, they talk about how favorably on their military career or their time in the military was and how it helped them get out. And how that's the best recruiting tool of all, because they're going to look fondly back on their military service and how it propelled them into the civilian world and beyond. So the more money and the more success transitioning they can put towards transitioning veterans, the more success they have, the easier, and it's really one of those long tail type recruiting tools. But it is interesting that, you know, it does come out of that budget, and they could spend that money on other things, and they'd like to spend money on other things, but they still have to make sure their folks are transitioning successfully. You've provided a wealth of information so far, Jim. I want to dig into a little bit the details of exactly what CPI does.
Sure. Thank you, Joe. Again, we are a recruitment company. We are the quintessential matchmaker between our end client, who is looking for talent, technical talent, and the workforce, who is looking for their next opportunity or their new opportunity. So we're very active in the recruitment side. That's what we do. I tell our team every day, we are a recruitment company. That's what we do. So whether we're using all of the latest technology tools for finding people via the web and in the internet, and we're active on military bases, we go to job fairs. The other thing that we do that I think is really important is the educational piece of taking veterans and their skills, and through their MOS code and their experience in the military, and relating that to our client to say, this individual was trained in, as an example, avionics, radio frequency interference for the Air Force. How does that relate to an automobile company and the radio frequency interference that they work on the car, so the radio doesn't pick up static when you drive under a power line or you honk the horn and the wipers don't go on? A lot of these things obviously have been eliminated in the auto industry, but it's the same challenge. And so one of our jobs from a recruitment perspective is, how do we take the veteran worker the industry, public industry, doesn't quite make the same leap to that, oh, you went to such and such an engineering school and we automatically know what you do. And so that is a part of what we do to extract that from the soldiers and make sure that we get their work experience as best we can onto this wonderful still thing that exists called a resume, and how we transfer that information to the end customer to make them understand. We have an example with Verizon. Verizon has a huge need across the country for mechanics for all their vehicles. Well, they think public sector. Public sector, you hire a mechanic who passes a mechanics exam. We bring people out of the military that are mechanics that if their training is tenfold what a civilian mechanic is. But we had to explain to the customer how skilled and talented these individuals are, and actually got their training manuals from the Army and presented them to the client. And the client looked at it and said, these individuals don't need to take our certification. We can just hire them. That was a huge breakthrough, because we couldn't get people to pass the test even though their skills were tenfold. Now that customer recognizes if these individuals come out of the military with these MOS codes, they are above and beyond skilled to do our job. So we're able to transfer those people into those jobs quicker. Huge, huge win for everybody. The salary is very good for the transitioning soldier. The customer is thrilled with their work ethic. Just a simple example of where we have to do more than just align a resume to a written web app need. We have to get in the middle of that. And we're pretty good at it, and we focus on it. So that's one portion of where we're trying to take that soldier and place them in public sector, i.e. Fortune 500, versus that soldier trying to place them at a General Dynamics or a BAE or a Force Protection or an Oshkosh truck. That those companies get it, you know, or McDonnell Douglas or Lockheed Martin. You know, those companies get it. The public sector, it's a bigger push, and we have to make the effort. And thankfully, when we get their attention, more times than not, the result is wonderfully successful for everyone.
Yeah, you know, I find it interesting that even something as tangible as a mechanic, if you're a diesel engine mechanic, you've got the MOS, you're certified diesel engine mechanic coming out of Fort Leonard Wood, that should be an obvious and blatant translation of an MOS. That's one of those rarities that you get a true translation of an MOS in the civilian sector. But even so, there was that gap that existed, and you guys were able to identify it and close the gap and say, look, if this guy's got this MOS, he's got it. So what we find most of the time is take the same guy, a diesel engine mechanic, and throw him into some other type of, whether it be, you know, a construction or logistical or transportation type job. That same individual would actually perform quite well in a number of loosely related civilian jobs. Those are the jobs that are more hard to translate into what you can do as a civilian, and that's what we often refer to as soft skills. You know, a hard skill is he's a certified diesel engine mechanic. Soft skills are he's comfortable working in austere environments. He's disciplined to show up to work, even if he's cold, wet, tired, and hungry. He knows how to get along on a team. He knows how to build teams. He has leadership abilities, administrative capabilities, organizational capabilities, all these intangible soft skills that veterans accrue and acquire over several years of being in the military. That's the kind of stuff that's difficult to put on a resume where an employer is like, yeah, I want someone like this.
Well, and you're absolutely right. And that's the other part we talk about, their leadership skills. You know, they manage 3, 5, 15, 20, 25 people, whatever it might be in their career. The other part that's really interesting, in the world today, people take jobs in new places. People move around the country, move around the world. The other thing that we find with veterans that works so quickly, they know how to land in a new city and go to work. And so I'll send two people from state A to state B. One's a civilian, one's a veteran. The veteran just goes to work. They figure out on their own time where to get their hair cut, how to find a doctor or a dentist, or how to get their insurance on their house or their car transferred, et cetera, et cetera. The civilian person will call back five times. you know, well, I'm not settling in well here, or I need help with that, et cetera. And it's amazing. Absolutely amazing. Now, this isn't fair across the board, but in generally, the veterans go, I got it. Okay, I'm in a new town. I start work on Monday. I'll be there at 8 o'clock. I got it, right? And they know how to do the other things. And it doesn't distract them at work. It doesn't make them come late or leave early because they have to go, you know, find out, you know, where they're going to get their, you know, meet their new dentist. Where on the civilian side, they don't do that as well. And again, I'm the civilian, so I understand my struggles, and I take my hat off to the veterans. When we put them to work, we know we will have less of those personal logistic challenges come back from them than we will oftentimes from a civilian, regular American citizen who's transferring from state A to state B. Just it just is. And we communicate that to our customer, especially remember with our customers, we're above and beyond matching a job requirement to a skill. We're trying to match a person and culture together as well. So we try and make sure the customer understands that if they're hiring someone who's coming from another state, you know, we'll get, well, that person doesn't live in my state. I don't know that I want to interview them. And then we'll explain to them why they should. Leadership skills, transition skills, adaptability skills, can-do work ethic, all of those scenarios are the soft skill things that is our job to try and communicate to our customer.
Yeah, I've never heard, I mean, that seems so obvious, but I've never heard that being such a really big benefit of a military member is because they're used to just moving around. You can plop them in, they can show up on Friday afternoon and be work ready Monday morning with no stressors that they're bringing to work, and it makes so much sense. I mean, I'm getting a little antsy because it's been over 3 years since we've moved. So I'm like in the habit of moving every, you know, 2, 3, 4 years. I've been in this same house for like 5 years now. I'm starting to get antsy.
Yeah, exactly. Hey, I do have a unique story to share about recruitment and the hurdles. So we have a client. The customer is here in Metro Detroit. They're called Roush Engineering. They do a lot of specialty automobile build. Mm-hmm. And they have a need when they get huge ramp-up programs from the automakers to either do custom stuff or retrofits, or there might be problems on the production line that cars come off and they need to be fixed. And they'll have a big push for us for they might call and say, we need 50 mechanics, you know, to work on this big push program. Well, one of the things we found with the soldiers transitioning out, they don't have tools because they were provided to them in the military. Now they're out and the tools are expensive.
Right.
So we've done a program with Roush and Mack Tools that we provide a custom set of tools. They're about $1,200. The toolbox, all of the tools, it's all spec'd, and we lease them to own to the employee when they join our team. So when we recruit the veteran coming out and they have the skills and the client wants to hire them, they don't have the tools. So we buy the tools from Mack Tools. We have them delivered down to the site, and we do $1 an hour lease to own back on the tools. So from our perspective, we match a skill with a client. We match the person able to go to work. That's what we do. We're in the recruitment business for profit. But if we don't provide the tools, we can't create the match. So we go out front, buy the tools, lease them back to the employee, and in about 6 months, they own them. They own them for life. They now have the tools, if they are a mechanic, to do their job out of the military for the remainder of the time they want to do it. Great win for us, great win for the client, great win for the transitioning soldier. Pretty simple thing to solve, but how many companies are willing to do it? We're into, I think, our 40th toolbox with that program. So that's, you know, $50,000 in theory that we've fronted, that the individual, you know, through payroll deduction, you know, buck an hour, solvable, a great, great success story and a win that just takes a teeny bit of creative thinking.
Yeah. And the fact that you guys went out of your way to come up with that program, but the company itself that was doing the hiring, who they couldn't see the problem, even though it was right in front of their face, you made it happen. I mean, that's a great story. I love that.
Well, in fairness, Roush was very cooperative with us, and they're the stewardship of the toolbox. So they are very much a partner. So, sure. You know, they get it as well. But what a great solution to, you know, otherwise, well, the guy can't take the job because he doesn't have the tools and he just got out yesterday. And where's he going to come up with $1,200 in cash to go buy these tools,
right,
et cetera, et cetera. So it's just those type of solutions are out there in, you know, I challenge all companies to to think outside the box in hiring a veteran, think outside the box as to what the veteran brings to the table and their soft skills, and think outside the box as what might be a simple accommodation to create a win.
That's awesome. Hey, Jim, so if some of the listeners are you know, liking your vibe and liking what you guys do at CPI, would somebody just come to your CPI website and like, you know, get on there and start, how does it work? Like, what if somebody wants to put CPI in their toolbox as part of their transition plan to potentially get a job when they get out?
Yeah, the easiest place is, you know, www.cpijobs.com, cpijobs.com. That part's pretty easy. Our website is very robust. All of our jobs are posted. It's very web interactive. It's very easy to click on it, download a resume, create a resume. It goes directly into our database. There is no lag. It doesn't sit in a queue somewhere that someone has to go look at. Our intuitive software immediately matches incoming resume skills to open jobs. You know, we have a variety of electronic ways to communicate back. And of course, we always end up the tried and true. You pick up the phone and you dial it and you speak to one another. So that's mm-hmm. the easiest way. We post our jobs with Indeed, which is, you know, one of the larger websites out there. They can find us through Indeed. They can find us through, again, through cpijobs.com. And we're pretty reactive and respectful of people looking for jobs.
Now, does your resume input system accommodate the military member fairly well?
Yes. I mean, you know, again, we'll take a DD-214. You know, we can scan that in, and that, as long as we have, if we have a DD-214 and a phone number, we're good to start, because then we can get on the phone with the individual and go, okay, we need a resume. Let us help you create one. You know, we'll walk us through it. You know, we'll create one. We'll send it back to you. If that looks right, you know, we'll coach you through all of that to help them get going forward. And one of the things we coach when we go to the job fairs, like at Fort Hood, is, and you made a great point about networking, and we'll see soldiers come to the job fair that aren't transitioning out for 6 months. And we'll say, we need a resume. We need your name, your phone number, your email, et cetera. And they go, well, I'm not transitioning for 6 months. I don't need to worry about it today. And we try and grab them by the ankle and say, no, you really need to worry about it today. And you know, let us help you create a profile, your capability statement, if you will, that you can use for us and everybody else that you might come in contact with. So yeah, it's really critical, very critical. And, you know, from that end, one thing that the internet does do really well, it does import people's profiles and their resumes well, and our system does that equally as well. And we're very public, transparent with all of our jobs, that they're out there. They're easy to see. They're easy to interpret what they are. And that's important. That's important.
Now, and what kind of span of job opportunities do you have access to? It sounds like there's definitely quite a bit of jobs out there for the 22 year old corporal or sergeant that's getting out after 4 years. Do you have stuff on the other end for the career soldier, you know, retiring sergeant major or an officer that's getting out after 20 plus years?
Oh, absolutely. We have a wonderful success story about a colonel, Colonel Phelps, who was in the Army, career guy. His last duty jobs where he was responsible for ushering the families when a soldier goes overseas. So what does the family need? How do they get set up wherever they might have had to move to in the States while their husband or wife is deployed? And unfortunately, he had the other part of his job was is when we lose a soldier, how does he communicate that? And that was his last job. And so he got transitioned out. We got matched up with him. We were able to place him in a logistics focused job at General Dynamics. General Dynamics ended up hiring him direct as a retired colonel. And he's now in that job now. He's now a client to us. He helps us to unearth opportunities at General Dynamics that CPI can place more veterans in. There's a perfect example as a retired colonel, you know, the seasoned individual that the client saw what he did, which was a logistics, but it was completely different than what they needed him to do under logistics. And they matched the two together in a great success story. So we have a lot of clients that like, you know, the 20-year individual because of their leadership skills. You know, this is dating me, but a long time ago, Time Life ran an article that something like 60% of United States chief executive officers of Fortune 500 companies were ex-military officers. Mm-hmm. Today, the number's lesser because the military doesn't produce as many officers coming out of the service. Right. Our soldiers' ranks are thinner. So, yes, whether it's a four-year individual who's coming out, sweet spot are a lot of these 8, 12, 16-year experienced individuals because they're kind of the right age and the right salary requirements for public sector. Right. But the 20-plus year individuals, absolutely. Their leadership skills are just immeasurable. And our clients are learning that. They're learning that is really in the come to work and take direction and have the ability to have creative discussions about problem solving rather than say nothing or complain, because they were taught that in the military. You know, and again, I'm not a soldier, but if I'm a career, you know, major or colonel, I would imagine my negotiation skills inside of the United States Army, Marine Corps, Air Force, or Navy are probably very, very good.
Right. Hey, and one final thing, Jim. Somebody comes to your website, they fill out the information, they actually get a job. The company that you place this successful veteran with actually pays CPI, meaning that there's no cost to the veteran for coming to CPI, correct?
Exactly. There's no cost of any time. We will help build a resume. We place them. There's no fee ever. You know, we explain to them how much they're going to be paid, and we don't waver from that. It's contractual. It's in writing. Yes, and the client pays us. Never a fee to the veteran. Never.
All right, Jim. Well, unfortunately, we're out of time because you got some phenomenal information on transition and job seeking and job hunting. I do want to give you the last word. You know, if you're talking to somebody out there who's maybe a couple years from their transition, or maybe they find it right here on their doorstep, what kind of advice would you give to them?
The first piece of advice is enhance your networking skills. Speak to as many people as you can about what your career aspirations may be. Use the transition centers to inquire who is coming there to look for individuals. And the other part of it is spend the time on the internet looking for the companies that are veteran friendly, that actually put it in writing and is out there actively looking to hire. You know, and again, for us, it's, you know, www.cpijobs.com. We're just one of many, but we're serious and the engagement can be fulfilling.
All right, Jim, outstanding. I appreciate all the golden nuggets you've laid out there for us, and look forward to talking to you. Maybe we can have you on a Facebook Live session inside the Veteran on the Move Facebook group sometime, and we can get some of our listeners to interact and ask some questions, things like that.
Would be honored to do so. Thank you, Joe.
All right, Jim. Sounds great. We're out. Have you joined the Veteran on the Move Facebook group? I personally invite every guest that I have on the podcast to join the group. So the Veteran on the Move Facebook group is a great way to connect with previous podcast guests. Our Facebook group will keep you in touch with other veterans that are transitioning to entrepreneurship, and you will also get great updates and free guides on the people, programs, and resources that will help you in your transition to entrepreneurship. Thank you for listening to Veteran on the Move, your pathfinder to freedom. If you like the show, leave us a review on iTunes. Reviews are always greatly appreciated. So until next time, this veteran is Oscar Mike.